News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
The plan to name and shame disqualified drivers has actually been delayed because of research that indicated that it wouldn't be effective. But however, it has now been alleged that the research conducted relied on international studies were outdated. But is this something that would actually deter people from breaking the law? Now, earlier on, we spoke to Susan Gray, who's the spokesperson of PARC, the Road Safety and Victim Support Group, who gave us the background on this name and shame initiative.
We met with Moya Murdoch, CEO of the Road Safety Authority, as far back as 2015, and we asked her what was RSA planning to do on the serious issue that 98% of drivers that were disqualified in court were not surrendering their licences to the RSA, and we knew it was very difficult for Gardaí at the side of the road to identify such drivers. Now, Ms Murdoch's suggestion was they were planning to set up a name and shame database whereby drink drivers in particular would be named. Now, that's 3 years ago, and we firmly believe RSA are not serious about setting up any such database.
OK, that's Susan Gray, as I mentioned, from the PARC support group. Now, we're joined in studio by criminal barrister Barry Ward. Barry, good morning.
Good morning.
Just first of all, what do you think of the idea, this idea of naming and shaming of drink drivers?
Well, I suppose the primary concern has to be enforcement. The best way to stop drink driving is to convince people that if they do it, they're going to get caught. And the question, therefore, we need to ask is, if we're going to name and shame, is that going to decrease the incidence of drink driving? I'm not sure that there's any evidence to suggest that it is. So I'd be concerned that naming and shaming isn't really going to change the way the system is. At the moment, we have a number of very draconian penalties, and that's exactly the way it should be for drink driving. So if you are convicted of drink driving, you're automatically disqualified. There's no discretion for a judge to do anything but disqualify you. So there is a very strong incentive for people not to do it. And if they think they're going to get caught, I believe they won't do it. But if you're going to name and shame, I don't think that's going to add any fuel to the fire of stopping people from doing it, because nobody, again, if people think they're going to do it, they're already afraid of being put off the road rather than being named and shamed. The other element to this is that all that information is publicly available already, insofar as there's a constitutional requirement for all of these cases to be done in public. So if you're convicted of drink driving in the district court, that's done in public, and any court reporter who's there will know about that and can report on that. And I think if you were to Google somebody's name and court, very often the local paper will have picked up whatever conviction they have. So I wonder about the need for it in circumstances where the information is out there already, and there isn't really any evidence to suggest that it's going to change behaviour.
Just to clarify, in terms of the naming and shaming of people or adding people to registers or lists in Ireland, we don't do that for many crimes for which people are convicted of.
No, I mean, you see tax defaulters lists and things like that, and I think television licence non-payment convictions are recorded as well. As far as I know, all of that information, as I say, is publicly available. So it's an option for papers to do it. I know the Road Safety Authority has expressed some concern about data protection and whether they have the right to do it, but that's a matter that could be resolved if they wanted to do that. The question we have to ask is this going to reduce the number of people drink driving? Now, we've made a lot of progress in this area, and a lot of new initiatives have been brought in, like mandatory alcohol testing, checkpoints. Mm-hmm. Anybody who drives regularly, particularly at night or early in the morning, will have come across these checkpoints where Gardaí are randomly stopping cars, randomly breath testing drivers without any cause whatsoever, and they're entitled to do that. And that's a really good enforcement measure. Things like that have been put in place to improve enforcement and to really send out the message to people, if you're going to do this, you're going to get caught and you're going to be disqualified. And the consequences of being disqualified, particularly for somebody, let's say, who drives for work, are really, really serious. And that's exactly the way it should be. But it's all about enforcement if we really want to change this.
Okay, and just to conceive a question just coming in from somebody on this, in terms of the naming and shaming of people in cases, where is that information contained? Is there a public register?
No, there's no public register, but what I'm saying is that courts do their business in public. And most.
So if there's a, I suppose really it's if there's a court reporter there.
Exactly,
it will be,
and there would be a court reporter, I think, in most district courts around the country for a local newspaper or even local radio, whatever it might be. Certainly we hear of these things all the time, and that's through court reporters who are in court. But All of these cases are done in public. And so there are two concerns about this proposal, I would say. First of all, is it going to change things? But secondly, there's a kind of implicit suggestion that if everybody knows that Johnny down the road is disqualified from driving, everybody will somehow enforce that ban. So if they see Johnny out driving, they'll stop him or call the guards or whatever it is. And you'd have to wonder about the appropriateness of the citizenry being involved in enforcing driving bans. That's a matter for the guards. The guards have that information. It's available on their systems. And so they know if they can't stop somebody driving, if that person is disqualified or not. So I suppose you've got to wonder, A, about the effectiveness, and B, about the appropriateness of the suggestion here as to whether it's actually going to achieve what people would like to see achieved.
Okay, just from a legal perspective, the fact that this has sort of been delayed at the moment, or it hasn't fully been cancelled, I don't think, but just postponed, where does it go to now at this stage?
Well, it's up to the RSA. I mean, the several bodies would have this information automatically. The guards, obviously, the court service, the road safety authority, they would be presented with all this information. I heard what Susan said there about 98% of drivers not surrendering their licenses. I don't know that statistic, but I don't think for a second that it suggests that 98% of drivers who are disqualified are not being taken off the road.
Is it a voluntary surrendering
no,
of your license?
No, if you're disqualified from driving, whether you surrender your license or not, you are not entitled to drive the car.
Yeah.
There's usually a 14-day delay to allow somebody to appeal if they feel they want to do that. But you are required in most road traffic matters to bring your license to court with you. A lot of people don't know that and maybe don't bring their license to actually have it in court. That does not mean that they're entitled to drive after the ban kicks in. They're still disqualified. Their insurance would be null and void. There would be penalties involved if they were caught.